Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women, where seasoned Naomis nurture young Ruths with real scriptural food for the Spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-host, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we're talking about, we're going to get all Old Testament on you, and we're going to go back into the Bible and talk about a young lady by the name of Hannah. And there's just something about her. You know, we can learn a lot from her. Eventually, she became a mom. She was a wife, and she can teach us some things today about faith and prayer, and we're going to find out what exactly that is.
In our Bible study segment today, our teacher, Sunny Shell, is going to be here with lesson four of her study on Proverbs 31 Woman. This one is titled, Beautiful Truth is Beautiful Trust. And we do have the notes on our website at naomistable.com, so you can follow along.
Yeah, we'd love to hear how you're doing with those, and if you're finding the notes helpful, I know that those will take you a lot deeper, and we just encourage you to, if you would like to start a small group with your own Naomis and Ruths in a Titus 2 kind of way, you can use any of the resources and Bible studies that we have on our website. Just go to our Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. We'd also love to hear from you if you'd like to post on our Facebook page, or you can email us at connect@naomistable.com. And we do encourage you to check out our Google Plus community page. It's a private page where other people can't see what you post in there except for the ladies who are in there, and they're from all over the world. And there's details on how you can join those sisters. They're doing a lot of talking and sharing and having a lot of laughs in there. And you can find the details at our website and also give us a call anytime at 800-979-9010. Gets you to the radio station, and then just hit extension 109. So what does Hannah teach us today? Well, first let's take a look at who she is, and we can find her story in 1 Samuel. Nancy, where do we even start with this? Why don't we start by just telling the folks a little bit about who she is?
Well, she was one of two wives of a man named Elkanah, and they lived in the hill country of Ephraim near Shiloh. Now, Elkanah had the other wife, Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah didn't have any children. So Hannah was very grieved because of this, because it was a very big cultural thing to produce a son, to produce children. So she desperately desired children, but could not conceive. But to make matters worse, Peninnah taunted Hannah concerning her barrenness. And although Elkanah loved Hannah and was very kind to her, he loved her so much. But the other wife's unkindness on top of Hannah's natural grief was just too much for her to bear. So she cried out to God about her situation, and she promised the Lord if he would give her a son, she would dedicate him to God as a Nazarite, which is a man set apart to God.
Mm. And, you know, it's hard for us to imagine going back into a culture like that where you're wife number two, or even if you're wife number one and you're there are other wives around and they're having kids and you're not. I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like. But then to have that wife taunt you and tease you for not being able to have kids, because kids really were, at that time, proof that you had value in the family.
Well, and it was so important to carry on the family name,
yeah,
to carry on the line of property in your family. I remember when we were talking about the story of Ruth and Naomi, and it was so important for them to find that kinsman redeemer who would marry, in this case, marry Ruth, so that that land would continue on in the family.
Yeah, and in this case, you know, Hannah, and she, you know, I'm so glad that the example that God shows us how she was earnestly and silently praying. Now, there was a priest at the tabernacle, his name was Eli, and he saw her, and he mistook her distress for drunkenness. Apparently, I'm not quite sure what this looked like, but he made this comment to encourage her to give up drinking, and she corrected his mistake. She says, I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief, and that's, you can find the story, by the way, and follow along in 1 Samuel 1:16. But then Hannah then explains her predicament to Eli, and Eli says, go in peace and the God of Israel will grant your petition that you have made to him. So after that, Hannah, you know, felt better and encouraged, and she received God's promise. So the Lord answers Hannah's prayer, and then she finally did get pregnant and had a son named Samuel. She named him Samuel. And that means asked of God. What a great, beautiful gift. And of course, the story goes on, but just to pause there and say, what faith that she had.
Yes. And if you're thinking, well, wow, that was a really harsh thing to say to her from Eli. Eli was not a good man.
Mm, yeah.
And in fact, Eli really had stopped hearing from God a while before.
Yes.
And you're going to find out later after she takes Samuel to be put into Eli's care, giving him to God by having Samuel serve God in the temple all the days of his life. There's a point at which Samuel is hearing God calling to him, and Eli doesn't hear it.
Yeah.
He thinks that Samuel's just going crazy or something. So Eli was a very bad man. He had very, very wicked sons who were not only taking what was supposed to be sacrificed to God and
yes.
just consuming it themselves, but also they were, I believe, harassing the women who were coming to the temple to ask for, give their prayers and petitions, things like this. So he was not a good father. He was not a good follower of God, and God really was not communicating with him. He'd pretty much, I think, written him off at this point. So when she is so earnestly crying out to Hannah, he's just assuming she's drunk.
Yeah.
He's not even thinking that she's pouring her heart out to God. His mind was so far removed from that situation in the temple.
You know, and so she has Samuel, and how delightful that must have been for her. And I have to wonder, did that shut Penina up a little bit? I don't know, but the child, when he was old enough, Hannah had to keep her promise to God, of course, and so she took him back to Eli, and she gave him to the Lord to serve at the tabernacle, and there Eli worshipped God along with Hannah, and then Hannah spoke this beautiful prayer, which you can find in 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. I think we'll read that at the end of the program today, so you can hear it. But in this prayer, God is presented as the one who helps the weak, and so she's very, very grateful. And Hannah and Penina represent the weak and the strong in this world, and the strong often mock the weak, but God hears and rescues the Hannahs of the world. And Hannah's prayer addresses this arrogance of the proud, contrasting their haughty words with God's knowledge, which is, you know, vast and far beyond their understanding.
Yes, and God did give Hannah other children, too, if you're saying, wait, she waited all this time for a child and then takes him to the temple as soon as the child is weaned, never to really see him again. No, she came and visited her son Samuel in the temple and brought him robes and clothes and things like that, but she was so happy to do that, to actually take him to that temple and give him to God. She just felt doubly blessed, not only to have a son, but to have a son who is going to be serving God all the days of his life.
You know, when we can learn so much from Hannah in her faith, we can also learn something about God in all of this. And it really, this story about Hannah, it just is so touching. And you can see right into God's heart and God, you know, how he does not despise human desire. You know, her longing for a child was so obviously placed in her heart by God himself. So her husband, of course, tries to comfort her, saying, you know, am I not more to you than 10 sons? And he doesn't understand why she can't be content with what she has, you know, him. So Hannah's desire for a son, just though it would not be quenched, and she was even mocked by Penina and rebuked by Eli, but God heard. He heard every word of her prayer. You know, obviously he didn't chastise her for being discontent. We know that godly contentment, and we talked about this earlier this week about contentment, godly contentment is great gain, but that doesn't mean that our human desires, even the ones that overwhelm us with sorrow when they're unmet, are sinful in God's eyes. He understands all of that.
And we need to remember Proverbs 13:12 says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
And God does invite us to bring our request, our desires, all of that to him.
Yeah. And Hannah's story also teaches us that God can use human weakness to accomplish great things, of course. You know, Samuel grew up and he became a great man of God, of course. But, you know, every person experiences desires that will not be quenched and circumstances that cause grief. We all do. You know, even today especially, we hear women all the time talk about that. And many times we simply don't understand why or when, but in the life that Hannah lived, we see that God knows our story from beginning to end, and you know everything has a purpose, and that we trust in God, and that's never misplaced.
And God is glorified in this whole thing. Her weakness, her trust in God as she turned to Him, the fervency of her desire and her faithfulness in bringing Samuel to God as promised are all evidences of God working in Hannah's life. And her tears were ordained to be part of the glorious story of what God was doing in Israel's history.
Oh, I know it. And, you know, Hannah, she gave up Samuel willingly. And I just, you know, I think about my own little boy. I remember doing this Bible study when he was about 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. So right at that age. And I thought, well, could I bring him to church and leave him there if I promised God that I did that? You know, trying to put myself, of course, you can't put yourself in the place of a woman from, you know, the Bible. You just, it's hard to do, but I just can't even imagine that. But really, it taught me great obedience. And it's one thing to obey a hard command, quite another to obey the commands gladly and happily. But Hannah's prayer of praise and thanksgiving is so beautiful, and we're going to read that whole praise, a Thanksgiving praise, at the very end of the program. So stick around for that for sure.
So what do we take from this? Well, I think first of all, talking about Hannah as such a woman of faith, it serves to remind us that all women of faith endure real problems.
Mm-hmm.
They extend vibrant prayers. They experience God's provisions, and they excel at keeping promises. And afterwards, they express their praise.
Oh, they do. And do we do that today? Can we expect to be women of faith who, hey, you know we have the problems. Okay, so what do we do with them? Do we take them to God? Do we pray so fervently that, you know, I don't think you need to do this, but maybe some people might think you're drunk, you're praying so hard. But, I mean, if that fervency is there, do we do that? Do we bring our problems to the throne of God?
And I remember that friend of ours, and I've mentioned this before, that Mike and I know, and he said, I think I'm finally growing in the Lord, because when I find myself in just such a horrible situation and horrible circumstances, instead of praying, God, please get me out of here, I am now praying, God, keep me here until I absolutely learn everything that you have to teach me through this.
Now, in the prayers that I've begun to pray for my daughter now, sometimes I used to just safety, 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 you know, and I want that little girl safe. She's 16 now, but that's the age where I worry so much more than I did when she was 4. And now I pray that God would be glorified through whatever situation He brings her in. I still want her to be safe. Of course I do. She's precious to me, but I want God to be glorified, and I know that He brings people into her life all the time that she ministers to, so He's answering prayers.
And some of those situations may put her in danger that she is actually ministering to people in. So you, as a parent, have to say, okay, is this my child, or is this a child that God has given me to take care of on this earth? And how can she glorify God best?
I know it. And, you know, women of faith also, in the Bible, we see how Hannah experienced God's provisions, and she recognizes that, and she sings this beautiful song of praise to them, to Him. And, you know, do we do that? Do we remember to thank Him for the provisions that He, do we even see the provisions, first of all? And then do we remember, oh, Lord, thank you.
And do we fulfill our promises to Him?
Yeah.
That's the huge one, is she made a promise.
Yeah.
If you give me a son, I will give him back to you.
Mm.
And how many times have you been in a desperate situation? You say, God, if you'll only do this, I'll do this. Yeah, and what happens if He does bail you out? You forget all about what you told Him you promised that you would do.
Yeah, be careful with those promises.
Oh. Yeah. We are so bad in general at standing by our promises, and I am so guilty of this. We are easily over committing all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, someone want something, someone needs you to be somewhere, someone is asking you to do something, and you don't want to say no. So you say, oh, sure. And then next thing you know, you drop the ball.
Yeah. You know, that happens to me all the time. I put things on the plate and it falls off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be careful
so,
with that.
So we both need to do a better job. Maybe we can hold each other accountable.
All right,
for
ladies,
that.
Hold us accountable, please.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, at this time, I'd like to take a moment and talk about fellowship here at Naomi's Table. Now, why is fellowship important? Well, it's important because as women, no matter where we are in our faith, fellowship provides us with the strength that we need through the Holy Spirit. And being around other believers gives us the chance to learn and grow in our faith, and it demonstrates to us why we believe, and sometimes is the excellent food for our souls that we just crave as women. We really do. It's great to be out in the world and evangelize to others who don't know Him. You know, we all have family members, relatives, and friends who are not believers in Jesus Christ. But you know, that can make us hardened and eat away at our strength, and we don't have that fellowship connection with other women who do believe. When we deal with this hard-hearted world, and you know it's getting worse out there, right? It can become easy to fall into that hard-heartedness ourselves and begin, you know, in some cases I've heard women begin to question their beliefs when they don't have that fellowship with other Christian women. It's always a good time to spend some time in fellowship so that we remember that it's God who makes us strong. We read Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, I am there with them. Now, in context, of course, we're talking about when Jesus is talking, when a brother or sister, in this case, does something offensive and we need to go to them. But really, fellowship with each other, when we gather around the truth of who Jesus Christ is, it really provides encouragement and growth. We've all had, as women, bad moments, negative moments, and perhaps you felt like Naomi, where things are just so tragic that you are embittered. You call yourself your own Mara, which means bitter, as Naomi did, and that's what Naomi's Table should be about for you. This table we set for you so that we can gather as women. Or if you're a Ruth and you're just trying to be obedient, you're trying to truly grow in your faith, and perhaps you need to understand some things as well, this table is set for you as well. Now, you know, we've gone through these things and we will continue to go through just tragedies that happen as part of everyday life in a sinful world. Loss of a loved one, for instance. Maybe perhaps you failed at something, an exam or a driver's test or money problems or even a crisis of faith that we all can go through. When we find ourselves down, if we get too low, it can lead to anger, can lead to that bitterness, and a feeling of disillusionment with God. Yet it's in these low times, don't you think, Nancy? It's in these low times that fellowship is really important. Spending time with each other and with other believers can often lift us just even a little bit as we exhort each other. They can help us to keep our eyes on God. God also works through those times and those moments with other believers to provide us what we need in darker times. And coming together with others can really help us in our healing process and give us that encouragement to move forward. Here's a verse in Hebrews 10 verse 24 through 25 says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. And don't you feel that with all the things that we're seeing in the news, all the trends that are out there, that we are in this time, ladies, of a great falling away of truth? We know that truth of God's word is not so much appreciated by the world as we thought perhaps it once was. There certainly is a decline as more and more Christian women bring in, they rely on books, they rely on podcasts and things that, you know, they might be good, but they're really not the Bible. And we need to be spending time in there, and we need to be continually with each other, pointing people there. Now, what happens at Naomi's table is that we learn together at the feet of our magnificent Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we study His Word, as we just did with Ruth Christian's Bible teachings and with others. And we learn about these confusing roles that we have, that the world tells us we need to take on as women. And we compare those pressures with what the Bible says about godly women and discipleship. So on the radio, like we are right now, you'll be hearing and continuing to hear these frank discussions and interviews in hour-long broadcasts that we have here about, you know, many of the topics that are important to you and to us. But the real connection happens when we then in turn to each other and share these things. And that, by the way, leads into my next thing. It's happening in our interactive Naomi's Table community on Google+. It's a very private group, as we've said before. There's more than 100 women in there right now. And what that can do is allow us to come together. You know, they have this thing called Hangouts on Google+, and we can someday, when we get our act together here at the table, we can even watch a video together or have some teaching time. Our computers are a lot of them laptops equipped with those little cameras in them, and we can tune those in at Naomi's Table on the Google+ group and actually have live meetups. We haven't done that yet, but we plan on doing that, so stay tuned. But you know, if you've ever felt disconnected or isolated, as I know I have, we've moved around a lot, but especially from other Christian women, then this is where you can really pull up a chair to the table. I have to add this, that we've said this before, in an informal survey conducted within church women ages 30 and up, half of us think that the church as a whole is not fulfilling Christ's mandate to love one another, and that results in this feeling of isolation among many of us. And a lot of you ladies have told us that you just prefer to go, you know, alone, because it takes too much time and energy just to commit to those relationships with other women. What a shame. I mean, yes, that's my opinion, but what a shame, because I'm sure that grieves God that women aren't coming together like it says to do in Titus 2. You know, I mean, can you imagine going through life just you and Jesus? How's that going for you? Well, you know, when I've tried to do that, I've failed miserably because I don't have that connection. And it's very tempting then to go off in these tangents and think that we're doing right in our own eyes and being, you know, biblical and spiritual. And we end up just in a mess when we don't have, you know, when we don't have those other women in our lives to bring us back and draw us into the Word of God. And if you don't have those relationships with other women right now, well, you're not alone. We have, you know, we used to have those close relationships in centuries ago, and even generations ago. I remember growing up that, you know, around my mom's kitchen table, the neighbors would all come over, they'd have their coffee, and they'd talk, and they'd laugh, and they'd share some very serious things. Relatives would come over, and I still remember that with my grandma and my aunts, sitting around talking about things that the guys would never talk about, and we would never say in front of them. But we've really moved away from those close circles. Some of you remember when we used to hang out at the table with your relatives, and we don't do that as much anymore. We're too busy. We don't have the energy. Well, what we're hoping to do here at Naomi's Table, what we can do is be that place for spiritual encouragement with people, new people, people perhaps you've never met before, who they're out there. We're out here, and they're from all over the world. And I'll tell you what, over on our Google+ group right now, we've got women who I have checked in from the Netherlands, from New Zealand, from Australia, all around the United States, Canada. I'm sure I'm missing a few countries, but really what we want to do is just glean from each other the truth of God's Word. So what do you need to do that? The first thing you need to do is create a Google+ account. And we've got a link on our website. If you don't already have Gmail or Google+, we'll show you how to create one. So if you try to join Naomi's Table without one of those, it doesn't work real well. But before you click to join, you just need to know what to expect at the table. You know, what we're here to do is point each other to Jesus Christ and to share his word in season and out of season. And when I say we, I mean you, because what we want to do is make it not administrator driven. You know, I'm not in there all the time. Nancy's not in there, and we're not there to be babysitters. We want you to do that. If you're a seasoned woman in the word, we want you to take initiative and join other women, reach out to other women. And if you're shy and perhaps new to your faith, please just give it some time. But you not only have our permission, but you're highly encouraged to biblically and lovingly reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teachings. You know, sometimes we all need a little reminding or a little nudge in the right area when we get off track. And the Bible says we need that. But we do have an enemy who says we don't need that at all. And in this generation, we don't often hear words like reprove and rebuke. It's not politically correct, my friends. And, you know, even our family members or our own home churches will kind of look at you funny when you say that word rebuke. But those aren't bad words. They're simply for our own good. I'll leave you with one more Bible verse about that. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And isn't that true, ladies, of all of us? If we don't have that sound teaching from one another, if we don't have that Titus 2 older seasoned women who are ministering to the younger women, then we do wander off into our own myths. And I believe that that's what has happened in the large visible church of today. So here at Naomi's Table, I just encourage you to kind of shed off all of the old things that you've always thought were true from book authors or your favorite podcasts, including this one if you're listening by podcast, and just really sit at the feet of the Lord with one another. Well, you know, let's leave it here, because when we come back, we are going to get ready for our Bible study today with Sunny Shell. And today we're back in Proverbs 31. We're talking about, of course, the Proverbs 31 woman. And Sunny's going to be here with lesson 4 of her Bible study. So we've gotten 4 days into this. And this Proverbs 31 study is titled Beautiful Truth is Beautiful Trust. And for this one, we have a visual. I know this is radio, this is podcast, but if you go to our website today under lesson 4, you will see something, and we're going to tell you about what that is when we come back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. We'll get back to Naomi's Table in just a moment on Q90 FM.
Paws & Company Low Cost Vaccine Clinics is proud to partner with Q90 FM. Paws & Company serves pet owners in the greater Green Bay area, providing preventative health care services for your pets, including vaccines, heartworm testing and prevention, feline leukemia testing, deworming, and flea and tick control. We provide the vaccines and preventative care necessary to keep your pet healthy. We even do house calls for your convenience. At Paws & Company, our motto is wallet-friendly pet care. Our phone number is 920-471 0643, and our website is pawscovaccine.com.
Music, television, movies. How do we as Christians decide what's appropriate? Hi, I'm Chuck Towns from Rock the Flock. For over 20 years, I've been doing a presentation called Music, Media, and the Mind. We take a look at today's entertainment from a biblical perspective. We talk about how media affects us, how to set standards for what we watch and listen to, and tools to help us make the right choice. It's designed for junior and senior high students, but also works well with parents. If you're interested in having Music, Media, and the Mind at your church, you can find out more by calling Rock the Flock at 800-725-4025.
On the stock exchange, traders constantly watch video monitors for the slightest fluctuations in world markets. If they move fast enough at just the right moment, they can make hundreds of thousands of dollars in seconds. Well, aren't you glad you don't have to operate with that kind of pressure? Most families just worry about getting the bills paid on time. Yet many families that juggle tight finances make it a priority to send us financial support each month. That's because they know that we'll be here when life's everyday pressures get to be too much. So thanks for your monthly support.
support. It helps us stay on the air.
Thanks for your support of Q90 FM.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hi, this is Dave Fiorazzo. If you love worship, you might also love our Sunday morning program, Empowered by Praise. Tune in every Sunday from 8:30 to 11 a.m. Draw near to God and prepare for the week ahead. With all the busyness and distractions in our lives, it's important to take time to worship God with all our hearts. Tune in. Set your mind on Him while you're on your way to church, or if you just need some quiet time in God's presence. Empowered by Praise, Sunday mornings from 8:30 to 11 a.m. on Q90 FM.
Have a question or a comment for Naomi's Table? Contact us at naomistable.com. Now back to the table. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
All right, welcome back to Naomi's Table. This is our Bible study segment, so scoot in here, grab a chair. There's plenty of room because, as you know, we do this on the radio, so it's limitless. Whoever can hear our voice is welcome at the table. Today we are back with our Bible study teacher, Sunny Shell, and we're covering just one verse as we always do, and this one is Proverbs 31, verse 11, beautiful truth is beautiful trust. And you can't see this. Sunny, you've provided us with a picture, and you got to go download the homework today to go get this. It's a beautiful picture of a flower. Explain that to us.
It's a very unique flower. Actually, I found it interesting. I'm from South Korea, and this flower was actually made in South Korea, or, you know, cultivated in South Korea, and it was named after the grower's daughter. And it was actually supposed to be named Beautiful Trust, but in the translation, when it came to America or to Europe, someone accidentally translated it wrong and wrote Beautiful Truth. Mm-hmm. So the title of the study is kind of a wordplay on what we're going to talk about today, as well as what happened with the flower. So the Beautiful Truth flower is actually called the Beautiful Trust flower, was supposed to be, and that's how it's translated in Korean. What I love about this is, and people will be able to see this when they download it, is you see the picture. It's a unique flower. It doesn't look like a flower.
No.
It has petals that are just a quarter inch thick, and it looks like straps, kind of like a rib, and then you see, you know, just the inside where the nectar is. And I found that so interesting as I was studying Proverbs 31:11, because 31:11 says the heart of her husband trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And as I was looking at this flower, I would think where the nectar is, that's the heart. That's the sweet spot, you know, of the flower. And then it's like the petals are the ribs, like we are. The ribs kind of surrounding the man, because as we know, going back to the garden, we talked about we would go there, so we'll go back to the garden real quick. You know, God made the woman out of the rib of the husband. You know, he could have made her out of a bone, because he's God, he can do whatever he wants, a bone out of the man's head so she could be over him, a bone out of his shoulder so she could be equal to him in position and authority and everything. He could have used a bone out of his thumb so that she could be under his constant pressure. He could have used a bone out of his foot so he could wipe his feet on her. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He chose the rib. So we know that God is very purposeful. So we have to think, why did God choose the rib? So we look at the rib and we study the rib and we think, well, you know, the rib, kind of like this beautiful truth flower, it's both strong and delicate all at the same time. You know, I love how God has those things go together very often. We talked earlier last time we were together at the table how law and liberty don't usually go together except in Scripture.
Yeah.
And delicacy and strength don't usually go together, but we all know that the rib is delicate. Everyone knows that. But it's also strong, and we know it's strong because it protects two of the most vital organs of man, his heart and his lungs. Mm-hmm. And that's all it protects. That's all it does. And so we have to look at, okay, if the rib is supposed to protect the heart and lung, then we need to study, what does the heart and lung do? Well, the heart pumps in the blood of the body, the blood within a man's body throughout his system, and it's the vigor, it's the very life he has. We know that if you're anemic, you're very weak if you don't have enough blood flowing. And I don't know if, I know I've heard this before, my husband say to me many years ago before I learned about biblical submission, that I was sucking the life out of him. And I'm wagering that other women listening right now probably heard their husband say that too, or just heard men say it in general, that some woman is sucking the life out of them. Well, we are. When we're doing that, and God says that the life is in the blood of every creature that he has made. And so if that is his actual vigor, that's his heart. So we protect that, his vigor. his life, his very life. And then we look at we protect the lungs. What do the lungs do? They inhale air and they exhale air. So then we look at the wife and say, okay, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to protect, just like we protect the heart now, his very vigor, okay? We don't want to suck the life out of him. So we've got the heart. Now at the lungs, we say we want to protect what he exhales. So the things that he says, because as we know, our husbands, like us, aren't perfect. Mm. And sometimes they say things that aren't very nice. It doesn't smell very good. You know, it's like bad breath. Everyone else but the person who has it knows that it's a little odorous, you know. And sometimes it happens. Our husbands bat off and they say things. So what are we supposed to do? Sit there, nod, and go, see, I told you it wasn't perfect. No, we protect it. We don't protect it by condoning it, but we protect it by praying for him when that's happening. And we could protect it by gently, lovingly, you know, gesturing to him or changing the subject, or, as we know, our husbands, different things that we could do to protect what he has just breathed out that might have not been good. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we do is we protect what he breathes in, because that's the other part of the lungs. So we protect his atmosphere. We create an atmosphere in our home that is full of God's love, peace, and joy. We've all heard the term, a man's home is his castle.
Yeah.
Well, it really is. You know, that's his resting place. And there are a lot of men who are workaholics on purpose because they don't like to go home, because that isn't his resting place. That's the place that the second he walks in the door, kids are screaming, wife wants to hand the kids off, she's been home with him all day, and then she wants to tell him all the troubles, and then she wants to leave, maybe go out with the girls, or go have tea, or whatever, and that's, so he doesn't want to come home to that. So we'll talk about another, during another lesson, some practical applications about how to establish a home where the husband can breathe in peace, joy, and get refreshment. So we'll do that in another lesson.
All right.
But that covers this beautiful flower and how we, as the rib, protect both the vigor, the lifeblood of the husband, as well as his atmosphere, what he breathes in and what he breathes out.
Mm. You know, Sunny, I have to say the rib is such a delicate bone. There are many in the rib cage, and if you break one of them, if one of them is
yes.
injured somehow, it hurts to do the basics. It hurts to breathe. It hurts
yes.
to laugh. It hurts to
yes.
Anything that makes you breathe harder. Everything hurts, and it affects
right.
the entire body. So we need to make sure that the rib is strong, protected. We need to take
right.
care of ourselves that way.
That's absolutely right. And the only way that we can do that is we need to feed ourselves with the Word of God. He's basically the marrow within our bones. It's the Holy Spirit that strengthens us. That's the lifeblood that we need. And we can't do that without the Word of God. As Scripture says, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by the very Word of God. Man, not just meaning male, but male and female, all human beings. And we have to remember that so that we can protect both the vigor, the very life of her husband, that he has a lot of energy and vigor and he's just delighted about life, as well as protecting anything ill that comes out of his mouth and protecting the atmosphere he breathes in. Because we know our husbands go out there and men are made a different way, that they are, we have to be very understanding and considerate. We talked about this in the beginning about how God has made him and the burdens he's laid on him that he actually has not laid on the woman.
Yes.
Because we weren't made for that. The men have greater burdens and desires and passions to care, provide, and protect us that while we have some of that, we will never understand the degree, because you know why? We're not men. And I've heard women say, oh, I get what my husband's going through. And I always remind them, no, you don't.
Mm.
Not to the same severity, and you never will, because you are not a man and God has made it that way. So it's just prideful when we say we get it, we understand, and you know, we handle it this way, why can't he? Because he's not a woman. And aren't you so glad?
But I'll tell you how tempting it is to say, oh, he just doesn't get me, Sonny. He just doesn't get me. Well, he's not supposed to get me.
No, he's supposed to get God, and so are you.
Yes.
And through that, you should be able to get each other. And that's kind of the problem that we get into. One of the things that, going back to the beautiful truth flower, when I was looking at it, I don't know if the gals out there, they garden, but I used to before I got very ill. I used to garden a lot. And one thing that I found that's so beautiful about the garden is, I think people have heard an analogy before, that God's the gardener.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, in his garden. We should be growing as he wants. And, you know, God prunes just like we do. A good gardener will prune their plants. And there was this little plant that I pruned to the point that one time, even some seasoned what am I thinking of? Who are those people? Landscapers. Thank
yes.
you. Landscapers who came out to help me one time wanted to pull this plant up because they thought it was dead. And it wasn't. I had just pruned it to the point that it really did look dead. But because I was the gardener and I knew the plant well, I knew it wasn't dead, and I had to prune it back as far as I did. It looked ugly. It was near naked. But I did it to keep it healthy. And nobody knew that, and I had to keep stopping people from doing that. And, you know, people made remarks about it. It was ugly. It was dead. Why don't you pull that thing up? And, of course, as time came by, it grew more vibrant, more just not in color, but the smell, the fragrance that came from the flower was just beautiful. I mean, people literally could smell it two or three houses down come to my garden trying to figure out which plant that was because it was so aromatic. But that's why I pruned it. I knew that it needed to do that. There were a lot of unhealthy little shoots. You know how us women do? We go off on rabbit trails sometimes?
Yes.
Plants do that, too. They have a little rabbit trail. They're actually called sucker shoots. I like the name for that. Because they suck the life out of what needs to grow, and it's just a stem that grows kind of nothing. So they're called sucker shoots. Gardeners know that, and you want to cut those off. And sometimes it's funny because those sucker shoots are pretty big, and so you got to cut those off. And I believe that's how God does us, just like this beautiful truth flower. I see a biblically submissive woman, much like the beautiful truth flower. She's delicate in appearance, but she's very hardy and she's strong, and she grows without being overbearing or overtaking the other flowers. In other words, she's not overbearing and trying to be better than all the other women kind of thing, if we were to use that. She doesn't mind being pruned. A biblical submissive wife is like this flower in another way that, though being pruned is painful and could cause her to bleed. You know, I don't know if you've ever pruned a plant.
Yes, I have.
Stuff, yeah, you see liquid coming out of it. That's kind of its quote-unquote blood.
Yeah.
So it's painful. But she trusts the gardener, who is God her Father, for pruning her, because she already knows, as he says in his word, he disciplines you only for what? That you may bear more righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows that she's going to grow more fragrant and have more larger and vibrant flowers like I just described. The pruning actually makes her stronger, actually, not weaker. And although at the time she might look ugly, you know, and other people might look at her because she kind of looks wasted, she's weak, she just doesn't look like she has anything to give, she doesn't need to concern herself with what other people are saying, because God, who pruned her, knows better. He made her naked like that before her so that he could grow her into something more beautiful. And as time goes by, she starts being such a beautiful aroma of Christ that it's not just the people right within her home, but outside her home, and then in her church, and then outside her church, and who knows where the fragrance goes.
Yes, and people will seek that out. They definitely will.
Absolutely.
And Sunny, you know, this Proverbs 31:11 study that you have here on our website titled Beautiful Truth is Beautiful Trust, that is so packed. This is one of those Bible studies that you want to spend some time in it, because there's so many rich Bible verses in there that you're just going to want to get in there and just really feed on those. Sunny Shell, thank you so much for this segment, for bringing this to the table, this rich, powerful food that you've given our ladies here today. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we will be right back. But until then, again, go to naomistable.com. All the Bible studies are there. I think you'll really enjoy it. We'll be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. Naomi's Table will be back in a moment on Q90 FM.
This is Bill Gussie with your Team 360 Minute, an attempt to turn sportsmanship completely around. In basketball, free throw shooting is vital because games are often determined by one or two points. Certainly, there are many ways to take a foul shot, but success will be limited without a proper follow through. Before high school basketball games or any sports, it often is announced that good sportsmanship is required by the host school, its conference, and the WIAA. Like styles of free throws, the verbiage can vary from school to school, but it's communicated to us that sportsmanship is important and is demonstrated by respecting and positively supporting players, coaches, fans, and officials. This is all well and good unless we fail to follow follow through. Allowing fans to break the expectations set at the beginning of the contest gives permission to disobey authority. Proactive expectations need to be set for what fans can do to make games fun in a positive way. In sports or in life, following through is vital to improving success in sportsmanship, just like foul shooting. To become a Team 360 member or for information on Team Score Inc., go to www.teamscoreinc.com. This has been Bill Gussie with your Team 360 Minute.
Extreme Structures, located in Denmark, is honored to be an underwriter of Q90 FM. They install structural insulated panels for commercial and residential buildings. Extreme Structures features InsulSpan, a structural insulated panel system that's designed to be strong and energy efficient. They're also an authorized Nucor dealer, a manufacturer of metal building systems. The website for Extreme Structures is extremestructuresllc.com. Their number is 864-4432. Our thanks to John Morehouse at Extreme Structures for his support of the Q.
Proverbs 30 teaches that every word of God is flawless. He is a shield for those who take refuge in Him. But today, many Christians seek wisdom and truth in things other than the Word of God. I'm Mike LeMay.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Join us weekdays at 9 a.m. for Stand Up for the Truth. There's no doubt that we are in the times of the great falling away that Jesus said would happen in the church.
We cover topics important to our faith and growth in Jesus Christ, separating the teachings of man from the Word of God.
And we always point you to biblical truth.
Tough issues and straight talk from the Bible. Stand Up for the Truth, 9 a.m. weekdays on Q90 FM.
Jesus see that the Lord is good. Now back to Naomi's table.
Welcome back to the table, everyone. Well, you just heard in that last segment that Sunny had her Bible study titled Beautiful Truth is Beautiful Trust. And Nancy, she mentioned a beautiful flower, and we did put that on our website, but guess what you have to do to go see it? You have to go to the Bible study tab and download the notes for this lesson. We're going to make you work for it. But you know what? It's worth it. It is a beautiful flower and probably the most unique thing I've ever seen.
It is very, very distinctive looking. And I like how she described it as like having the ribs coming out around the side. And I thought that was a wonderful analogy that she gave, that the rib bone we know is both delicate and strong. And it protects the heart, it protects the lungs, and guess what? That is the bone that God used.
Yeah.
From Adam to make woman.
And I never even thought about that before. You know, he didn't make us out of a toe bone or anything like that. He made us out of this rib, and it's such a beautiful thing. And so she talks about how a biblically submissive wife is just like this beautiful truth flower. She's delicate in appearance, but it's very strong. And I like that because we can be both.
Yes, and the function of the rib, we talked about protecting the heart. Well, the heart is what pumps the blood. That's where the life is. That's where the vigor is in the man, the energy of the man. So as his helpmate, we are to do that. We are to protect his life and his energy, his vigor. And then also it protects the lungs. That's from which the breath and the words come from, but also where he breathes in, and that we can do that too by giving our husbands a safe, peaceful, comforting home atmosphere. And God bless her, Sunny admitting she was sucking the life out of her husband. And how many of us have done that?
Oh, I have done that.
One time or another.
Yeah. Yeah, but we can repent of that and start fresh, and I know our husbands really appreciate that when we do that. But, you know, she also talks about how the Proverbs 31 woman really is more concerned about the growth in the secret places of our soul that only her gardener can see. So I love that analogy, and every time I hear a garden analogy from now on, I'm going to think about this, because really that's what gives us peace, especially when the storms come.
Yes, and in order to be a strong, vibrant plant that, you know, gives off that fragrant scent, we have to be pruned.
Yeah.
And sometimes the pruning does not look or feel good.
No, but you know, we were talking a little bit about how the, you know, the rosebud is similar to that, but you can't force, you think about those buds, you can't force them to bloom. Have you ever tried to do that with a flower that's just a bud, maybe fooling around with some flower that isn't valuable or anything like that? You can try to pry it open and try to make it, you know, look pretty inside, and it doesn't work at all.
No. No. And, you know, going back to the rib analogy, I really liked what you said, too, where you said a broken rib makes every breath and every movement hurt.
Yeah.
And going back to the role that we are to play with our husbands, you know, if we're going to make everything he does, every movement, every breath he takes painful, then how on earth is he ever going to be able to do what God wants him to do? Mm. So even if he's not there yet, ladies, don't hinder him.
Yeah.
Help him. Encourage him. Don't be that broken rib that's just going to keep holding him back.
You know, this is so interesting. We do have men who listen to this show, and they write to us and tell us that they appreciate this. And I have to wonder how they, you know, how many of you guys are amening right now? But you know, it's true. We can't be paining our husbands. We can't be harming them by continually jabbing that flesh. It hurts.
And so much of that comes from those head games we've talked about before, where you're mad at him because he should have known that he should have done this or should have said this or shouldn't have said this. And you're expecting him to be a mind reader. And that's not right. I like it when Sonny said, you know, you're not supposed to get each other. You're both supposed to get God. And then by getting God, you're going to get each other.
Yeah. You know, in that communication thing, you know, I'm thinking about me with my husband. You know, oftentimes he looks at me like I have two heads when we're communicating. And, you know, the poor guy. But you know what? We both love God with a passion. And very fortunately, and I know not all couples have that, not all couples love God the same, or one maybe is unequally yoked with the other one. And but, you know, I'm just so blessed to have that. And ladies, I just pray for your husbands if he's not there yet. But you know, we can be that godly Proverbs 31 woman without him getting us.
No, and if your husband does love God, then encourage that and protect that and support that. Don't be nitpicking about every little thing he does, and trust him. If he loves God, then you need to trust your husband that he is going to be listening to God and doing what's right for your family.
Now, if you are single and you're wondering, what does all this have to do with me? Well, next week we are going to be doing a special segment on women who are single and how the Proverbs 31 woman relates to them and to you ladies. And I know there are a lot of single women, and there, you know, I hope you can glean some beautiful truths out of this Bible study today. We're going to leave it here for now. When we come back, as promised, we are going to read that book from Hannah and her Psalm of Praise, and I can't wait to hear that. We will be right back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. We'll get back to Naomi's Table in just a moment on Q90 FM.
Gemini Plastics of De Pere is a new business impact partner of Q90 FM. Gemini Plastics specializes in the state-of-the-art innovation and integration of plastics, replacing normal metal materials. Everything from snowplows to drill components for the medical field. Gemini Plastics offers commercial plastic solutions for industrial clients. Sound intriguing? Their website is gplastics.com. Gplastics.com. We thank the team at Gemini Plastics for their support of the life-changing outreach Q90 FM. Gemini Plastics. Gplastics.com.
Doug's Lawn Care of Green Bay is glad to partner with Q90 FM. Doug's Lawn Care thanks all their loyal customers for their support over the last 24 years. This enables Doug's to continue supporting the Q. Doug's Lawn Care specializes in a common sense and affordable lawn care program featuring timely weed control and time release fertilization programs. They also offer spring or fall core aeration. Doug's Lawn Care is glad to be on board with the Q and encourage other business owners to do the same. Doug's Lawn Care of Green Bay, 865-1700. Complete professional lawn care.
Pizza Ranch in Green Bay is proud to partner with Q90 FM. Pizza Ranch offers its everyday complete buffet, including dozens of different pizzas, chicken, fruit, vegetables, and a complete salad bar. Want a pizza that's not on the buffet? Just ask and we'll make it for you. Pizza Ranch's community impact fundraising events are a great way for your nonprofit organizations to raise financial support. Open every day, Pizza Ranch is located at 2206 Main Street in Green Bay, and our phone number is 468-3555. Glorifying God in all we do, Pizza Ranch, 468-3555.
The Q90 Days of Summer are making a splash in 2013. We're teaming up with the American Red Cross for the Q90 Pints of Summer. We'll have the perfect soundtrack for all your outdoor activities. Plus, you can get help if you're hurting at HopeNet360.com. You'll also have chances to win CDs from your favorite Q artists. And we also have some fun events planned. We'll be out and about the rest of the summer at some of the biggest events. So come see what's going on. The Q90 Days of Summer, now through Labor Day on Q90 FM.
No empty calories served here. Now back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back to the table, and this is our final segment for today. And as promised, in just a moment, we are going to read Hannah's song of praise to her God, and it is so beautiful. I know you'll be inspired. I do want to have an email here. This one is from John, and he wrote to us a couple days ago, and he said, good evening. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law are in this power struggle right now in their marriage, and I won't get into that, but he said, the discussion at Naomi's table on the 13th really hit home for me, and it pertains to the same struggles that Sunny Shell discussed on the radio program. Now, this is when we first introduced Sunny on Tuesday, and he said, the entire show is outstanding, and hoping that there's a place that I could download the show and give it to them to listen to. Thank you, and I'm praying that you have that show on tape somewhere. And John, just want to let you know, yes, we do. It wasn't uploaded at the time that you wrote that, but it is now. It's on our podcast section at naomistable.com. You can go there. We're so glad that this blesses you and that you can use this. So just go and help yourself. We're also up on iTunes as well. Well, at this time, we'd like to close the program with something that Nancy has. And Nancy, where in the Bible can we find Hannah's song?
It's in 1 Samuel chapter 2.
Okay.
Hannah prayed and said, my heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feet people gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries, shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed.
You know, Nancy, we don't often read Hannah's psalm. You won't find it in the book of Psalms. And unless you're in Samuel, you miss beautiful nuggets like that, don't you?
Oh, that is awesome. And it's also repeating over and over again what Jesus said. The last shall be first and the first shall be last.
You know, and if you think that the Old Testament has nothing to do with Jesus, the whole thing points right to him and why he came and who he is. So ladies, be in the Old Testament as well as the New. The whole Bible is your food. So we're going to hopefully pass that food along at the table here, and we hope you come back and fill up again tomorrow. We're going to put it here for now, and I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.
WORQ Green Bay, Fox Cities. Here's another hour of the biggest hits you'll find anywhere.